Track 5. Lorna continues with Tim Huggins in her investigation into the lives of bees and ants, which can pester us all whilst trying to enjoy the warm summer weather. Tim again tries to reassure Lorna that they are a really important part of nature and need to be protected.
Well, right, Tim, it's very hot in here, so we just had a bit of our drink. And so if you'd like to continue now and tell us a bit more about the bees, that would be lovely.
Yeah, so just continuing briefly on with wasps, we were talking about what they eat and how that can be quite useful. Because they also eat things like fish on fishmonger stalls and all sorts of nuisance like that, don't they? But bees, we all know, don't tend to be like that. They don't go for these same things. But they do go for sweet things, which obviously wasps do at the end of the season. So bees, yes, they go for flowers and are famously pollinators. One of the differences between wasps and bees is that wasps just have biting jaws. In bees, they have biting jaws, but they also have a long tongue called a proboscis. And different species of bees have different varying lengths of tongue and specialise in certain types of flowers. So that's very useful for specific pollination. So I suppose I ought to really just focus a little bit on the honeybee, because that's the one everybody knows. Yes, they go to flowers, they collect nectar and they collect pollen. The pollen they use to feed their larvae, their young with, and they have then the nectar, which they reduce the amount of liquid by fanning across in their hive to make it to honey. And why do they make honey? Well, it's not for us to use, but obviously humans have decided to exploit it, and the wax for candles and things like that. So hence they're very useful insects to us. But they make that honey so that they can get through the winter. And this is where honeybees differ from something like bumblebees, because the bumblebee is on an annual cycle with our spring, summer, autumn, winter. And the honeybees during that winter period are able to go into sort of senescence. They tuck themselves in the middle of their hive into a big ball, and they just gently buzz in there to keep themselves warm. And the queen, she'll stop laying in the middle of, or the early part of winter, and start again in January, ready for the new season that's coming. And as they do so, they're moving around this ball over the stores of honey they've got in the previous year. And that's why they do that. And those queens, in a honeybee colony, they may live 9-10 years, and more typically 3-5 years or something like that. And people will know of swarming when the colony divides. That's because new queens have been produced. So the old queen leaves and the new queen takes over. And then the process goes again. And maybe that happens 3, 5, 10 times with one hive in a season, which is fine for the honeybees, but not any good if you're trying to collect lots of honey. So that's how they operate. But in bumblebees, and there's something like, I think, what is it, about 24 species in the UK, but there's about 10 common ones. They are much more important, actually, as pollinators in Britain, because they're far commoner than the honeybee. Honeybees obviously are maintained artificially, but naturally the big bulk of the pollination is being done by bumblebees of different types. And they have a system similar to wasps, which we were talking about earlier, where they, at the start of the year, they have been hibernating queens. They come out of their hibernation. They were fertilised the previous autumn, and they've sat in a little burrow, a hole somewhere, where they can keep safe through the winter. And they emerge with the first warming days of spring and find somewhere to establish a new nest and the first brood. And they typically find an old mouse nest or something like that in a burrow underground. And not far from where we're sitting, when I was a boy, I used to look for voles and things like that, turning over pieces of old corrugated tin on some old allotments near here. And one of them, this nest, I opened to see if there were any baby voles in it, and it started buzzing at me, and out came some angry bees, because the bumblebees had taken over this old mouse nest, or old vole's nest. And so That's how they have their nest, and there may be up to about 200-300 bumblebees in a nest. This compares at peak. This compares with up to 40,000-60,000 honeybees. So a completely different scale, if you like. But as I say, the bumblebees are more important because there's a lot more of them for pollination. And they both make wax. So we know about beeswax in a honeybee. So there's a sort of more fibrous type wax that the bumblebees make, and they bring back nectar and pollen, as do honeybees, to feed their youngsters. But they're only getting enough of this nectar to store for a few days to cover them through thunderstorms and things like that, you know, bad weather when they can't forage. So they don't build up big stores. Towards the end of the season, like with the wasps, the new queens are produced in the colony, and the males are produced, and they go off and fertilise each other. It's quite fun with bees and other insects. They have these sort of lecking areas. They up in the sky, so nobody quite knows how this regulates, but they all form in a cloud up in the sky somewhere to have this natural flight. If I digress onto ants briefly, people say there's giant ants about because there's big ants running around. Well, what this is these, in the case of the ants, they've all taken off together when the conditions for temperature and humidity are just right, and there's a spot in the sky where the cloud or whatever of the atmosphere is just right, and they all mate there, and then the ants return. The female ants return to Earth in order to find somewhere to make a new nest, and they first thing they do is break off their wings, like they're scratchy, itchy things. They tumble and turn until they break their wings off, and that's why on the ground you see or find ants that run around that are really quite big but no wings.
Yeah,
well, they did have them, but now they've lost them.
That does explain it,
So this is similar, so in the ants and bumblebees, except obviously bumblebees keep their wings, and the wasps, they then hibernate in the case of wasps and bees. The ants disappear in the ground and they become senescent, you could call it hibernation.
Okay. So, I think we could have gone on and on, and I think we might have to do this again, because I know we were going to chat about sounds and things, but of the different bees, so we could identify them, but we have to halt there. Cheers! Thank you.